This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and here is the headlines from some of the other stories we're following here today at NPR News. As President Bush prepares his new strategy for Iraq, the residents of Sadr City are bracing for violence. The vast Baghdad slum is a stronghold of Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, whose Mahdi army is believed to be at the forefront of much of the sectarian killing in Baghdad. And a U.S. intelligence official says U.S. troops killed several people at a target in southern Somalia this week who are believed to be associated with al-Qaeda. Pentagon officials have also suggested the U.S. military is either planning or considering additional strikes in Somalia. And for more on that, we turn to NPR correspondent Gwen Tompkins, who had just left Mogadishu, and she joins us now from Nairobi in Kenya. Gwen, good to have you on the line.
Hi, Neil. Nice to talk to you.
What do we know about what's happened in the last couple of days?
Well, we're just learning in dribs and drabs, really, what's been going on. I was in Somalia on Sunday and Monday, actually, and did not hear until late Monday, early Tuesday, about the strikes. In large part because it's very difficult when you're in Mogadishu to get credible information from southern Somalia. Oftentimes we're relying on people who are eyewitnesses, and so we just simply did not hear from eyewitnesses that night. We heard other things in Mogadishu, of course. We heard, you know, terrific gunfire, explosions in different parts of the city, and so we thought we were the story here in Mogadishu, when in fact the story was going on in southern Somalia.
Well, just to remind people of recent events, on Christmas Eve, I think it was, Ethiopian forces spearheaded an advance into Somalia, driving out the forces controlled by the Islamic Courts Union, which had taken control of much of the country of Somalia beginning, I guess, last June. And in a surprising tactical defeat for the Islamic Courts, their forces were routed from Mogadishu and relocated down towards the south of the country near the Kenyan border in a place called Kismayo.
Absolutely, that's exactly right. Kismayo is the southern seaport in Somalia, and the same is a very interesting thing that happened, or didn't happen, I should say. You know, the Islamic Courts, they pledged to fight. They pledged to put up a big resistance against the Ethiopian troops and the Somali troops. They pledged to do so in Mogadishu. They did not. They left under cover of darkness. They pledged to do so in Kismayo. They did not. They left under cover of darkness. And so they traveled farther south. And what is believed is that whenever they have moved, whenever they've retrenched, they've split up. Some have gone in one direction, others go in a different direction. Some in the group want to stay and fight. Others want to try to figure out a way to melt over the border someplace or go to sea or just get out of Somalia by any means necessary. So what's happening is that the Ethiopian and Somali troops who are chasing these Islamist fighters farther and farther south in Somalia are chasing smaller and smaller groups that are becoming more and more disparate.
And these are not just Somalis, but they apparently include some people who came to join the fight. We've heard, of course, broadcast by al-Qaeda Lieutenant Aman al-Zawahiri calling for people to join an Iraqi insurgency-like fight in Somalia. And these apparently include people from overseas, as well as some people the United States has been arguing have been protected by Islamic Courts Union people they say are responsible for the attacks on embassies in Kenya and Tanzania back in 1998.
That's absolutely true. The U.S. has for a long time maintained that there are leaders of al-Qaeda who have been given safe haven in Somalia by the Islamic Courts Union, who of course controlled southern Somalia and Mogadishu these past 6 months. The Islamic Courts Union has always denied this, but anti-terrorism has been the focus of U.S. efforts on the Horn of Africa for quite some time, as well as Ethiopia's interest. Ethiopia got into this war in large part because they felt threatened by the Islamic Courts Union, the more radical elements of the Islamic Courts, who were calling for jihad against Ethiopia, who many believed were being led by outsiders who essentially, as they put it, had sort of commandeered the Islamic Courts Union and pushed it into a very belligerent direction.
Have we heard the history of U.S. Airstrikes on alleged terrorist leaders has been mixed. Sometimes, of course, they have worked. Other times, they've killed a lot of people who turned out not to be involved in anything. Have we heard anything about casualties? Who was hit? What kind of people they were?
Well, we've heard some voices that are emanating from southern Somalia at this point. All we've heard is that many people have died. We don't know what many means, though. This is a very difficult area to gauge, and there are an awful lot of vulnerable people, and I'll tell you why. One reason why it's difficult to gauge is because southern Somalia, particularly near the Kenyan border, can be very heavily forested, which is one of the reasons why many of the fighters are believed to be in that area, because it's harder to find you in the forest. But at the same time, this is also an area that was heavily, heavily damaged in recent weeks by flooding in southern Somalia. As you know, flooding, just was devastating this past rainy season in Ethiopia, Somalia, Kenya, and so it led to a lot of displaced people, internally displaced people in Somalia. So in this area where the air attacks apparently occurred, this is an area that is already home to more than 4,000 displaced people, according to the UN, and many of those people are out of the reach of the UN and other humanitarian organizations. That 4,000 also includes 400 refugees who were expelled from Kenya recently and sent back to Somalia, in large part because Kenya is very concerned about which Somalis are coming over the border and whether they can vouch for everyone who's here.
Mm-hmm. Gwen Tompkins, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
NPR's Gwen Tompkins joining us from Nairobi in Kenya. For more on this story, Josh Meyer joins us now. He covers terrorism for the Los Angeles Times and is with us from its bureau here in Washington. Josh, good to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
Do we know who specifically were the targets of these attacks?
Well, specifically, I think it was three men. It was Fazul Abdullah Mohammed, who is an al-Qaeda leader who goes way back to Osama bin Laden, connections to bin Laden back to the mid-1990s. He is suspected of being a mastermind of the 1998 bombings of two U.S. embassies in neighboring Tanzania and Kenya. And the two other guys who were also alleged al-Qaeda leaders who were with him were also suspected of bombing a hotel in Kenya in 2002.
And they were apparently still hooked up with this Islamic Courts Union movement in Somalia, working with them.
Right. One of the guys, Abu Talha al-Sudani, is suspected of being an al-Qaeda leader, a financier of their organization. And the other guy's name is Saleh Ali Saleh Naban. He's a Kenyan who also is believed to be an al-Qaeda leader. And so they're not sure if these guys were fleeing alone or if they were splitting up so that they wouldn't all be attacked at the same time. But they clearly were the targets of these military raids.
And do we know if they were hit?
No, nobody's really saying that right now. And we can't tell if that's because they don't know, if there was too much carnage on the ground, for instance, or communications are bad, or if they're just not telling us because, for operational security reasons. But we're trying to find that out. There's indications that at least one senior Islamic militant was killed in the strike. But some of the reports coming out of Somalia right now was that it was a guy named Sheikh Abdullah Mualim Ali, who was the Islamic Court's former chief of security. So it's very unclear right now.
The strikes that the Pentagon has already talked about involved AC-130 gunships. These are aircraft flying from a U.S. base in Djibouti, which is north of Somalia.
Right. I'm not sure exactly of the location. It's nearby. I think you're right. It's north of that. But these are extremely powerful aircraft. As an intelligence official told me, this thing does a lot of violence. It's not the most surgical event. They have 105-millimeter howitzer cannon on them and a couple of other Gatling guns, and they can level essentially a small town, in a matter of, minutes.
And we heard reports today of attacks by helicopter gunships. If those were American helicopter gunships, presumably they would have come from naval bases, from ships off the coast?
Right. That, too, is not clear. But we are talking to military officials who say that there were helicopter gunships resuming attacks Tuesday, today, against suspected terrorist holdouts in southern Somalia. And so they would presumably be coming from either Kenya or Djibouti, probably Kenya.
And is this, what are you learning about? This was clearly a fluid situation as these people were leaving Mogadishu and going down south, trying to stay away from the pursuing Somali and Ethiopian forces. Was this, from what you're hearing, a target of opportunity?
It was. I mean, I think I've been speaking to U.S. intelligence and counterterrorism officials about this for several days. In fact, I had a story in today's paper that actually, you know, has been held for a few days, and events overtook us. But they were clearly tracking these guys for days. They knew they were heading towards the border with Kenya, and they were watching them very closely based on intelligence that while they won't discuss how they got the intelligence, was clearly fairly good intelligence. It might have come from the clans who knew these guys. It might have come from electronic surveillance. It might have come from people on the ground. We're not sure yet.
Are there U.S. forces, special forces, on the ground in the area?
Well, it's sort of it's a good question. It's sort of like the situation in Pakistan and Afghanistan, where they clearly say that they're on one side of the border, in this case on Kenya, on the Kenya side, but maybe not on the Somalia side. But we get the impression that the distinct impression that they're operating in the area, as well as the CIA.
And therefore, one of the things they would have to be concerned about is if these gentlemen are who you say they are and they've been operating, doing what they're said to have done, clearly they have contacts on both sides of the border, too, and would, once into Kenya, be able to melt away again.
Right. I mean, and Fazul Muhammad especially is a of grave concern in this regard. He's a Kenyan. He's from the Comoros Islands, which technically is a part of Kenya, I believe. So he can sort of move across the border at will. He also has, I think, at last count, several dozen aliases. He looks sort of very sort of generic, and so the authorities believe that he could take on any number of appearances and sort of slip through the border. They also believe that these guys are very good fishermen. In fact, they posed as fishermen before the embassy bombings of 1998, and that they could get on any one of 100 or several hundred dhows and just cross over the border by water, by one of the fishing boats.
And let me ask you also, in the war between the Ethiopian-led forces and on behalf of the Provisional Government of Somalia and the Islamic Courts Union forces, the Islamist forces, the belief of many people in Somalia, if not everybody, is that the Ethiopian side has been backed by the United States. What is there concern about the effect of American airstrikes in Somalia on the situation in Somalia?
Yes. In fact, we're already seeing the backlash. There were some people today in Somalia. My colleague Eddie Sanders, who's over in Somalia right now, we've been working very closely on the story. He talked to one person who condemned the U.S. attack and vowed revenge and said, we will retaliate one day, even if it means suicide. But others, including a shopkeeper that he spoke to, blamed the Islamic court leaders for instigating the war and said that they hope that the Islamic courts surrender so they won't cause any more problems for the people. But clearly there's been a backlash against the Americans. There could be dozens, maybe even hundreds of innocent civilians who were also killed in these attacks.
And finally, is there a possibility of further attacks?
By the United States? Certainly, yeah. I mean, I think that they're looking for these guys, and they believe that anybody who's fleeing as part of the Islamic Courts Union is fair game for being a target of the military attacks.
Josh,
that's my understanding of it. So,
Josh Meyer, thanks very much. We appreciate
You're
it.
You're very welcome.
Josh Meyer covers terrorism for the Los Angeles Times and joined us today from his office here in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.